This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. It is sometimes said that ignorance of the Scripture is ignorance of Christ. On this Sunday of the Word of God, we pledge to know more about the person of Christ through Scripture.
Third Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday, in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is His Excellency, and Ezra the priest scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep," for all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, "Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one spirit. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
This Sunday, the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, has been set aside as a day we celebrate the Word of God. It does not mean that other days we do not celebrate the Word of God, but on this day we are called to listen with attention and then reflect on the importance of the Word of God in our lives. This eternal Word is proclaimed in season and out of season to us, believers. It is wonderful to say that when we Christians assemble in the church on Sundays to listen to the Word of God and to be nourished at the table of the Eucharist, we are affirming that Christ is the Messiah. With this affirmation comes then the responsibility we have as members of the body of Christ to live out our Christian commitment, which is to preach the Word of God, which gives salvation. Let us remember that the Word of God is spirit and life. We cannot do without it. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Hilary Munyaneza, Father Enobong Daidion contributed to the program. I am Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us, all about our environment.
Festus Tarawali, Catholic journalists and communicators from close to 140 countries converged at the Vatican's Paul VI Hall on Saturday morning for the Jubilee of the World of Communications. The gathering included a cultural meeting and an audience with Pope Francis. The encounter began with an address by Nobel Peace Laureate, Advocate for Freedom of Expression, and CEO of Rappler, Maria Reza, and Colm McCann, an author of numerous works and co-founder of Narrative 4, a global non-profit which uses storytelling to better communities. In his written remarks, Pope Francis encouraged Catholic journalists and communicators to be courageous truth and hope tellers in our world marred by conflicts, division, and misinformation. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Pope Francis began his address by commending communication professionals for their courage in pursuing truth, especially those who have risked or lost their lives in conflict zones or have been imprisoned simply for being faithful to their profession, recalling that the freedom of journalists is essential for the freedom of all citizens. Describing journalism as a vocation and a mission, Pope Francis went on to remark that communicators have a unique responsibility that extends beyond the mere reporting of facts. How information is conveyed matters greatly. Accurate, free, and responsible journalism, he asserted, is essential for distinguishing truth from falsehood and fostering social cohesion. A good communication, the Pope continued, requires study and reflection, the ability to see and listen, to stand with the marginalized, and to rekindle in hearts a sense of good and evil. Central to Pope Francis' reflection was courage. Recalling the Latin etymology of the word, which is to have heart, he reiterated his often repeated call to listen and speak with the heart, to guard the wisdom of the heart, and to share the hope of the heart. Addressing modern challenges like social media addiction, he again advocated for media literacy and critical thinking to combat superficial consumption of information. Drawing on the example of the conversion of Paul, he reminded Catholic communicators of their power to ignite positive change through truthful storytelling. Stories reveal our being part of a living fabric, the intertwining threads that connect us to one another, he said. Concluding, Pope Francis encouraged journalists to tell stories of hope that nourish life. Telling hope means allowing people to hope against hope, he said, and having a gaze that transforms things, making them what they could be and should be. I am Lisa Zingarini.
The Jubilee of the World of Communications opened on Friday evening with a celebration of Holy Mass marking a liturgical memorial of St. Francis de Sales, patron of journalists, at the Basilica of St. John Lateran. The Mass, presided over by Cardinal Baldassare Reina, the Vicar General of the Diocese of Rome, was preceded by a penitential liturgy led by Father Giulio Albanese, Director of the Office for Social Communications of the Vicariate of Rome. In his homily, Cardinal Reina said that the Jubilee is a time of mercy where the focus shifts from sins committed to the transformative power of God's forgiveness. Meanwhile, in the context of the Jubilee of Communications, around 80 religious sisters met in the Vatican on Thursday to share their belief that communication is not only for media professionals, but for everyone, since each of us connects with others through words, gestures, and other forms of expression. Addressing the Jubilee Conference of Religious Sisters at the Apostolic Library on Thursday, the Prefect of the Dicastery for Communication, Paolo Ruffini, highlighted the significance of interaction, saying our identity and impact on the world are shaped by the stories we share. For more on this story, Sister Jacinta Antoinette Okoth has published two articles on our website. Just go to www.vaticannews.va/en. The 3-day Jubilee of the World of Communications will end with a Sunday of the Word of God Mass to be presided over by Pope Francis in St. Peter's Basilica this Sunday, the 26th of January. The Mass will begin at 9:30 a.m. local time in Rome or 8:30 GMT. The frequency for our listeners on shortwave radio in Africa is 17540 kHz in the 16-meter band. The Holy Father will lead the recitation of the Angelus after the Mass. Before his meeting with journalists on Saturday morning, Pope Francis received in audience the President of the Republic of Panama, His Excellency Mr. José Raúl Mulino Quintero. Shortly after, Mr. Quintero went on to meet with Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin, accompanied by Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations. A statement from the Holy See Press Office reads, "During the cordial talks held at the Secretariat of State, satisfaction was expressed for the good relations between Panama and the Holy See. The parties then focused on the precious contribution the Church offers to the country." The statement continued, saying that some themes of common interest were then touched upon, such as care for the common home, migration, and other current socio-political issues in the country and the region, confirming the mutual commitment to foster mutual cooperation for the good of the Panamanian people, the statement concluded. Also, at the Vatican's Apostolic Palace on Saturday morning, Pope Francis met with the President of the Transitional Presidential Council of Haiti, His Excellency Mr. Leslie Voltaire, who went on to meet with Cardinal Parolin, accompanied by Archbishop Gallagher. A Holy See Press Office statement said during the cordial talks held at the Secretariat of State, satisfaction was expressed for the good relations between Haiti and the Holy See. After discussing the precious contribution the Church offers to the country, despite the difficulties caused by the ongoing crisis, attention then turned to some current themes in Haiti, such as the socio-political situation of the country, security, humanitarian and migration issues, as well as the steps being taken to find a solution to the country's crisis with the support of the international community. In one of his many meetings on Saturday morning, Pope Francis received in audience Cardinal Kurt Koch, Prefect of the Diocese for Promoting Christian Unity. The meeting came hours before the Pope was scheduled to preside at a celebration of Second Vespers to mark the end of the week of prayer for Christian unity at the Roman Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls on the 25th January Solemnity of the Conversion of St. Paul. In his address Monday to an ecumenical delegation from Finland on the occasion of the Feast of St. Henrik, the Pope recalled that Christian hope in the Lord never disappoints and that Christians are to always persevere in prayer. The Holy Father has accepted the resignation from the pastoral care of the Diocese of Nona in Burkina Faso, presented by Bishop Joseph Sama. At the same time, Pope Francis appointed Father Guy Mukasa Sanon, until now rector of the St. Peter and St. Paul Seminary of Kozongin in Ouagadougou, as Bishop of the Diocese of Nona. The bishop-elect was born on the 14th of September 1968 in Tusiana in Burkina Faso. He was ordained a priest on the 14th of July 1996 and incarnated in the Archdiocese of Bobo-Dioulasso. Also on Saturday, Pope Francis accepted resignation from the pastoral care of the Diocese of Laogoat in Algeria, presented by Missionary of Africa, Bishop John Gordon MacWilliam. After accepting his resignation, the Holy Father appointed Father Diego Ramon Sario Cuccarella, the former Dean of the Pontifical Institute of Arabic and Islamic Studies in Rome, to succeed him as Bishop of Laogoat. Bishop-elect Cuccarella is also a member of the Missionaries of Africa, also known as the White Fathers. He was born on the 20th of July 1971 in Valencia, Spain. He studied philosophy at the Faculty of Theology of Madrid and theology at Tangaza University in Nairobi, Kenya. He was ordained a priest on the 2nd of June 2001. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The UN Security Council will meet on Monday to discuss the situation in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, where hostilities have intensified in recent days involving the M23 rebel group and government troops. The army said on Friday that a military governor of the country's North Kivu province, which is in eastern Congo, has died from gunshot wounds suffered on the front line during an offensive by the M23 rebels. an internal UN report seen by Reuters said Major General Peter Chiriwami Nkuba, who led the province since 2023, was injured while supervising troops 20 miles from the provincial capital Goma. The rebels are reported to be advancing on two fronts near Goma, where tens of thousands are fleeing, and the UN is warning that the violence could spill over into a wider regional war. The DRC and the United Nations accused neighboring Rwanda of fueling the three-year insurgency with its own troops and weapons. Rwanda denies this accusation. The M23 rebel group takes its name from a March 23, 2009 agreement between the Congolese government and the previous rebels. Fighting around the largest oil refinery in Sudan has set the complex ablaze. Satellite data analyzed by the Associated Press on Saturday showed the Al Jali refinery is located some 60 kilometers north of the capital Khartoum. Forces loyal to Sudan's military under Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan later claimed they captured the refinery owned by Sudan's government and the state-run China National Petroleum Corporation. The facility represents a long-sought prize for the military in its war with the Paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, or RSF. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Hello and welcome to the world around us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. The UN Children's Agency has said the schooling of nearly 250 million youngsters was disrupted by the climate crisis in 2024. Daniel Johnson of UN News has more on that story.
At least 242 million students in 85 countries had their schooling disrupted by extreme climate events in 2024. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, has warned. Heat waves, tropical cyclones, storms, floods and droughts are among some of the dangers that have made the global learning crisis worse, new UNICEF analysis has shown. Coinciding with the International Day of Education, the UN agency released data showing that at least one in seven students had their schooling disrupted because of climate hazards in 2024. Of the 85 countries affected, 23 experienced multiple rounds of school closures, and 74% of all those affected students live in low and lower middle income countries. South Asia was the most affected region in 2024, with 128 million students impacted by climate-related school disruptions. East Asia and the Pacific region followed, impacting 50 million students. In 2024, heat waves were the most significant climate hazard to affect schooling, concerning around 171 million students.
U.S. billionaire Michael Bloomberg announced on Thursday that his Bloomberg Philanthropies will step in to help fund United Nations climate change work after President Donald Trump withdrew from the Paris Climate Agreement for the second time. Here is an explainer from the UN Climate Office on what the Paris Agreement on Climate Change is and how it works.
What is the Paris Agreement? The Paris Agreement is a legally binding international treaty on climate change to limit global warming to well below 2, preferably to 1.5 degrees Celsius compared to pre-industrial levels. This requires economic and social transformation to face the climate challenges now and moving into the future based on the best available science. The Paris Agreement works on a 5-year cycle of increasingly ambitious climate action. By 2020, countries communicate their plans known as nationally determined contributions. Countries communicate actions they will take to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions in order to reach the goals of the Paris Agreement. Countries also communicate actions they will take to build resilience to adapt to the impacts of rising temperatures. This may include information on adaptation and finance flows. The Paris Agreement also provides a framework for financial, technical, and capacity building support to those countries who need it. Starting in 2024, countries report transparently on actions taken. Collective progress under the Paris Agreement will be assessed through a global stocktake. This will lead to recommendations for countries to set more ambitious plans in the next round.
Speaking at the annual World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland on Wednesday, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres criticized those backsliding on the commitments made on climate change. Let us listen to some of what he said.
A number of financial institutions and industries are backtracking on climate commitments. And here at Davos, I want to say loudly and clearly that this is short-sighted. And paradoxically, it is selfish, but also self-defeating. You are on the wrong side of history. You are on the wrong side of science. And you are on the wrong side of consumers who are looking for more sustainability, not less.
That was UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres addressing political and business leaders at the annual World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland on Wednesday. And that's all for this edition of The World Around Us, news about our environment. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature family. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.